Hello and welcome to The Wrestling Arena. I'm your host Paul Barrow, and today's show we'll be discussing whether or not the run-up to this WrestleMania is one of the greatest of all time, and also ongoing news from both WWE and AEW, including a book review for Becky Lynch, The Man, Not Just Your Average Girl, which is a mouthful of a book title. So, I hope you're all having a wonderful evening. We've got the chat room going. We've got Eddie Hickey. We've got Robert Dinkins. We've got Riker T.Y. It's all kicking off. It's a pleasure to be here. I apologise that I haven't been here live for the last couple of weeks. There's been crazy power cuts in my area that have just randomly cut me off. And that was going on for a bit. And then I decided to record something last week, not live, so I could get it up into the podcast feed. If you're not a member of the podcast feed, I do put things up onto there. When I can't do a live show, I do tend to try and put something out. But I'm just hopeful that this show is going to go without a hitch. It's been a few days since they seem to have fixed the problem. I have no idea what it was. But yeah, I'm here. We are on the road to WrestleMania, and it has been a very interesting road indeed. I shall obviously pivot to that later. But right now, I want to discuss this week's wrestling news. So the first piece of news that I have is that Cody Rhodes has recently confirmed that he signed a new multi-year deal with WWE that will keep him at the company past his 40th birthday. This was from SE Scoops. So it's got Cody Rhodes is riding a wave of momentum, and the WWE Universe can't wait to see if he finishes the story at WrestleMania 40. No matter how the show of shows turns out, he'll be around WWE for a long time to come. During an interview with Justin Walker, Cody Rhodes confirmed he has signed a new multi-year contract with WWE. He did not confirm exactly how many years he'd signed on for, but it's certainly more than two. He had planned on retiring by 40, but plans changed for him. I can tell you, 40 is out of the question, just because, not to give you the scoop, it was widely reported, but I did sign a new contract with WWE. It extends beyond my 40th birthday. The plan is still, when it's time to step out without it being a painful process, solely because I saw my dad as an old man wrestler and he loved it and he enjoyed it, but as his son it was hard to see. My daughter is 2 going on 3. There does have to be a time, just like when he was with us, where I have to be home all the time and be there with her. It's not 40 anymore. I'll update the number. I hit the prime run late in the game. I often forget that I'm nearing 40. Cody Rhodes is 38 years old right now. Since his new deal will extend past his 40th birthday, WWE fans can look forward to a lot more moments from the American Nightmare. Now, I hadn't heard that Cody planned on retiring at 40 until this came out. I knew that I believe he mentioned something around 40 when he was an EVP for AEW. I believe that he sort of said, like, you know, I don't want to do this too long because it's very, very tiring. It's very crazy. But if he's 38 now and he's saying it just going past 30, that's, you know, it's 2 or 3 years. And it's very strange to sit there and think, you know, this guy who I think is just hitting his stride as, like, the top guy, wants to be done by the time he's 40. I mean, 40 is no longer the age it was when I first became a fan, where they were sort of saying, like, oh, Bob Backlund's in his 40s. He's, you know, he's an ancient guy. He can't really do it anymore, but he's made a comeback. They were saying, like his career was over. It's very strange to me now looking at it and thinking that 40 is not the barrier it used to be. You know, as someone who turns 41... next week, that's quite heartening. So it's very weird to think that Cody Rhodes, you know, might be 43 and then just might be out. I mean, he wrestles, you know, he has had some injuries. He does wrestle a hard style. But it's one of those weird, it's one of those weird things where you think you're only just setting up to be the top guy, and WWE like to kind of ride that top guy momentum for like, you know, 6 or 7 years if they can get away with it. Or at least it feels that way. So it's really strange to think he's just signed a contract extension and it's going to go past his 40th birthday. Good for Cody. We've got Fran the Cannon in the chat saying that will that extension give him time to get Dustin back in and then they retire together? Dustin's a weird one. I don't think he ever wants to stop doing this because I think he would have done it already. I honestly do. There was a time when I thought, like, you know, Dustin was, shame on me, I thought Dustin was past it. I thought he was too old to keep going. He obviously had some personal issues. I'm talking like around the era of like Black Reign in TNA. I know he doesn't like talking about that because he was having a very hard time with addictions and stuff. It's really strange, but it would be cool to see them together again. Whether or not that's going to end up being in AEW or WWE, because I'm sure WWE would have Dustin back, if only to induct him into the Wall of Fame and maybe get another couple of tag matches out of him and Cody, or maybe in a singles match. So I guess it just depends. I suppose as an athlete, you want to decide when you go. You know, you want to decide, like, oh, I'm going at this time. But it just reminds me of, like, my friends who are like, oh, I'll quit smoking when I'm 30. And it's like, yeah, you're 40 now. You still haven't done it. It's like, you're just going to keep maybe it's one of those things where you're going to extend the barrier. You're going to be, oh, no, I'm still okay. I'm 40. I'm 42. I can still keep going. I still feel pretty good. Maybe I'll go for another year. You know, it'd be one of those things, I think, where he just kind of, I think he loves it a lot. And then the next piece of news I have is on Jade Cargill's brand new entrance. Cargill, rather, not Cargill. Sounds like I'm gargling something. On the March 29th edition of Friday Night SmackDown, Jade Cargill made her first appearance as a member of the Blue Brand, and it came with a brand new entrance. Fightful Select, which is where I got this from, Fightful Select's Corey Brennan has been told by multiple WWE sources that Cargill's entrance, I'm going to train myself, I'm going to get that right, has been one that has been worked on for quite some time, with multiple changes being made in the last few weeks. The entrance had input from all major producers in the company on angles, lighting, sound, and other factors. It was stressed that the entrance could see some changes, particularly at WrestleMania, and the foundation of the entrance expected to have been established on SmackDown. Now, I know to a lot of people this doesn't seem like a big deal, but I think that her entrance, particularly on SmackDown, was like really good. Like, the last two entrances I've seen redesigned, which have been hers and The Rock's, have been very impressive. Like, The Rock's new persona, the final boss, he's got a tremendous entrance at the moment, which really highlights the character he is and how it makes him look even more impressive than he does. And the same can be said for Jade. I thought she looked like $1 million on SmackDown. I thought, like, that's your next women's champion. Now, as we know, she was treated very well in AEW when it came to the TBS title, and you know, she's got a very good look. And I think the key is, has her wrestling improved to the point where she's going to pay off with this huge entrance? Because I didn't think she was terrible. A lot of people thought she was like, she's just a look. She can't really. But it's not like they hired the great Khali or like, you know, Kurgan, where they could barely move by a certain point. It's just, I thought she looked really impressive. I thought, like I said, I think The Rock looks really impressive, and I'm hoping this is going to usher in a new era for kind of big dramatic entrances in WWE, because the one she got on SmackDown was almost like a WrestleMania entrance in itself. It was crazy, but I've felt over the last maybe 10, 15 years that everyone's entrance, it doesn't express the character. You know, things like The Brood and Austin when you had the glass shattering and things like that. You always had those little differences, mostly in the theme music when Jim Johnson was doing it. But certainly you had, you know, if you're going to have these big, elaborate entrances, I think that can help establish character. Obviously, Jade is having a WrestleMania match. It's a good way to debut her, actually, because she's in a six-person tag team match. It's Trinity, Jade, and Bianca versus Damage Control. I was like, Control Damage? That isn't right. But, yeah, and, you know, that's a good way. So, I mean, I know I was talking about her wrestling ability, and like I said, I'm not saying she's terrible. I think she's perfectly fine, and she's probably improved. But it's a good way to debut without putting too much pressure on her, because you can always tag in and out and just come in, do a spot, tag back out, and keep the match flowing without putting too much pressure on you. So I think it's a good way to debut her and let her get some of the butterflies out of her stomach. Weird that her first match is the Royal Rumble and her second match is on WrestleMania. Unless she's got a match on Friday on SmackDown, that's going to be very, very strange to think, like, oh, your first two matches in the company are, like, the two biggest pay-per-views. So Eddie Hickey saying he hopes that wouldn't be the pre-show. I can't see it being the pre-show, because there's been quite a lot of that Damage Control have had quite a bit of a spotlight put on them. So I'd think that would be... be something crazy. This is again from Fightful Select, I believe. And it says, a TNA name has inked a contract. Previously working per appearance, Fightful Select has confirmed that AJ Francis has signed a deal with TNA Wrestling to remain with the company through the year 2024. Francis was brought into the company by Tommy Dreamer and made a good impression, subsequently feuding with Joe Hendry and teaming with Rich Swann. In addition to working in TNA, Francis worked a GCW event against Joey Janela in January and won a quick match in MLW in February against Mr. Thomas. He was backstage at a recent WWE Raw and was at the WrestleMania XL kickoff show event at Las Vegas, and remains a good relationship with WWE and Triple H. We're told Francis can continue working with NWA, MLW, and is able to work with New Japan Pro Wrestling. However, the deal prohibits WWE and AEW. So, that's quite interesting to me, because there was a time when TNA and AEW had a working relationship. That's obviously fell by the wayside. But I find it really weird that... I get that he was top dollar. And he's obviously been on WWE TV. But last week, I believe I mentioned that the Motor City Machine Guns were not offered contracts. To me, I think that TNA fans would rather have the Motor City Machine Guns. Now, I know they're getting on a bit, but they are kind of a beloved historic team in that company. So it seems strange to me to hire AJ Francis. I haven't really seen any of his TNA work, so maybe he's gone over really well. But it's very strange to like look at them and go, because another guy they haven't offered a contract to is Mustafa Ali. He hasn't been offered a contract. That being said, Mustafa Ali is—he appears to be going the Matt Cardona route, where he's turning up at every company you can think of and some you've never heard of. He's the X Division champion, and that he doesn't appear to have signed with anyone. He might not want to, but one does have to wonder. Like, I'd want Mustafa Ali if I could get him, and maybe he doesn't want to be tied down. Maybe he felt that being tied down to WWE was a detriment, so he doesn't want to do that for a while. I guess we'll see. And, you know, I've got nothing against the flop dollar, as people have called him in the chat room, which are a little harsh. But, you know, I've got nothing against the guy. He was a good host for the first series of WWE Most Valuable Treasures, or whatever it was. You know, the one where they faked going into a load of people's collections and being like, oh, can we buy these Hulk Hogan boots? Yeah, sure. But he was a good host for that. I've got no problem with him going to TNA, but it's weird they've offered him a contract when they appear to be offering a lot of other people per appearance deals. Next piece of news. Audible called on AEW Collision. An AEW Collision match didn't go as planned. The AEW Tag Team Title Tournament continued on AEW Collision, with Top Flight defeating former tag team champs Ricky Starks and Big Bill. Towards the end of the match, there was a pinfall on Ricky Starks that wasn't planned to be the finish, but very clearly should have been a pinfall anyway, as Starks didn't get his shoulders up. Starks stood up, took a DDT, and ate a pin. Darius Martin could be seen talking to the referee as the pin happened. Trainers checked on Ricky Starks after the match. Big Bill and Ricky Starks were originally slated to win the match and face FTR. So Ricky Starks put up on his Instagram that he was fine. He was just being very cautious about his, you know. And I applaud that, because as much as back in the day he was like, oh, Triple H tore a quad and finished the match and all that kind of thing. It's like, yeah, but when you look about it, that is a tough thing. It's also a silly thing, because you can aggravate that injury and keep it going. I'd rather, if someone feels that they've hurt themselves, just end the match. Now, the reason this is a bit of a so-and-so is because it's pretty obvious that, as Fran says, the bracket, it's clearly obviously to be the heels in Ricky Starks and Big Bill against FTR in the semi-finals. Personally, I think this tournament has been it's been the most obvious thing you can imagine, because the finals are clearly going to be the Young Bucks versus FTR. And I think the Young Bucks are going to win because it suits their characters. I think them having the belts and being bossy is a good thing. It's very strange. It's very weird to see that someone's called an audible in a tournament and gone, no, the other team are going to win, which is fine. Like I said, I'd rather the guy was like, I think I'm hurt, let's finish this up. Because gone are the days where I'm like, oh, that was really tough, that was really, you know, what a brave thing to do. No, if you're hurt, get yourself out so you hurt yourself more. A bit of a shame, because I would have liked to have seen FTR versus Starks and Bill. So I guess we'll see that at some later date. I hope so anyway. And that's really the news I have this week. It's a bit of a strange week for news, because there's a lot of, like, this event is happening. This, you know, that it's a lot of companies announcing stuff for WrestleMania weekend, announcing matches and announcing people that are going to turn up. And while I did talk about Shayna Baszler being announced for Bloodsport last week, because I didn't want to, it's a WWE contracted person being allowed out of WWE to do something, which I thought was newsworthy. I don't just want to be like, oh, this company are doing this, this company are doing that. They've got plenty of ways to tell you what's going on, and there are more than enough shows happening over this weekend you'll find them if you want to find them. So that is the news that I have this week. We've got Shayna is still underrated by Eddie Hickey. Agreed there. Motor City Machine Guns versus the FTR is a dream match from Robert Dinkins. I agree there. Bonkers LFC, they got nothing for Rich Swann, so put him with Flop Dollar. Is everyone in the chat calling him Flop Dollar? It certainly looks like it. Maybe the guy's actually just really hated, and I'm just like trying to be as nice as I can. Fran the Cannon talking about something that happened on Collision. Cardona being a good choice for the Cope Open. It was certainly a nice surprise. People were calling for Matt Cardona to get signed to AEW, and I'm like, why? The guy's making money doing every indie. It's what he seems to want to do. And I don't see where he'd fit in AEW on a long-term basis. He'd just kind of be shuffling about. He's a big name, he's a massive name in the indies. He's the Pro Wrestling Illustrated Independent Wrestler of the Year for 2 years. It's really, really, really something to let him just come and go as he pleases. I think it's really cool. Bonkers LFC in the chat saying Shayna's not on the Mania card, so why not send her somewhere else? I agree. I think that every WWE worker that isn't on the Mania card should just get to go and do something. There's so many, within reason. She's doing Bloodsport because the guy that trained her, whose name escapes me right now, it's his event. There's one happening in Japan soon, a Bloodsport happening in Japan, where Quentin Rampage Jackson is appearing. We have Fran the Cannon is asking, I'm assuming asking me who my pick for the Andre Battle Royal is. I think it, Andrade. He needs something. He's come in and done nothing. Unless they're going to keep him doing nothing, he needs something. Not that the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal is a big thing, but it's something that they can attach to him and say, oh, they did that. So as Eddie Hickney says, depends who's in it. But I think Andrade, I think there is a graphic out there with who's in this match. But I can't think of a... Well, if Omos is... See, the thing is, Eddie Hickey saying, no doubt Omos is going to be in it. But we're no longer in the Vince era. I don't think someone's massive size is a guarantee of a huge push anymore, which is good. I've been watching a long time, so I was sort of immune to the size thing. It was like, oh, this guy's 6 foot something, so he's going to get a push. It doesn't seem to be the case anymore because Omar's pretty much disappeared. My pick is Andrade. I think Andrade will get something because he's been the dampest of squibs. He hasn't really made an impact, which is a shame. Well, one does wonder if he looks back at AEW and goes, at least I was getting used sometimes. Although I suppose he's got that thing going done with Dominic Mysterio, and we don't know where that's going yet. Maybe they're setting something up for after Mania. That's my pick for the Andre Memorial Battle Royal. There's 20 people announced. They'll fill that out. There might only be 20. There's a lot of stuff going on. Eddie Hickey, R-Truth is... I know the Battle Royal is on SmackDown, but isn't R-Truth in the Tag Ladder match against the Judgment Day for the titles? Awesome Truth. Robert Dinkins, AEW gets some money. AEW gets a lot of my money. Unfortunately, we are running up to WWE's biggest show of the year. So most of today's discussion, Robert Dinkins, will be about WWE. I will certainly be talking Dynasty / Dynasty later in next month. Well, from next week on, to talk about like all that kind of stuff. And that's the 21st, is it? But at the moment, quite a lot of this discussion is going to be about WWE. It's simply, it's their time of year. It's Wrestlemas, as we once called it on MOS. Fran the Cannon. I think maybe they give it to Gable as a consolation trophy. I'd be kind of annoyed at that, because I want Gable to do something. I want Gable to do something at Mania. I don't know what. I wanted to do a run-in and, you know, maybe help Sammy beat Gunther. I just think he's been too good to, like, let him just faff with the Battle Royal. I don't think the Battle Royal means much to the fans. I think it means so much to the company. Bonkers LFC, Andrade, Bronson, Gable or Nakamura to win the Andrade Battle Royal. They're all good picks. They're all good picks. They're all people that should have been. They should have really been doing something for Mania. Not that everyone can get onto Mania. I do get that, but you do look at the. It's an embarrassment of riches when you've got a roster where there are so many people. And you're like, that's a good person, and that's a good person, and they deserve something, and they deserve something. It does annoy me that it's now. I know WrestleMania is too long. It annoys me that the Andre Memorial Battle Royal has been like relegated to SmackDown, because I don't know about you, but I don't really watch the SmackDown before Mania, because it seems like it's basically the kickoff show with like a match somewhere in it. I know there's going to be more than enough wrestling like over that weekend that I'm like, okay, I haven't watched SmackDown. If anything happens, I'll be sure to catch that somewhere. But yes, I'll be talking about my plans to cover WrestleMania later in the show. So, my talking point for this week is this past week's Monday Night Raw one of the best of the last 10 years? And how does the build-up for this WrestleMania match up to some of the best WrestleManias? Now, in my opinion, and I know it's probably a leading question that I'm asking here. In my opinion, this past week's Raw was really good. Like, really, really good. I can't think of many Raws in the last 10 years that I can look at and say, I want to see what happens next. There have been angles where I've thought, like, oh, this could kick something off that they've inevitably wasted. I know this isn't 10 years, but the Nexus wasn't 10 years, was it? My concept of time is kind of out there. So the Nexus was a tremendous angle that they kind of wasted. But, like, it's been since like that for me. But this one, this Raw, despite being a Raw that was full of segments, full of interviews, full of in-ring stuff, there wasn't actually that much wrestling on the show. And I'm usually very much a 40-60 split, more wrestling than interviews. To my mind, you get the interviews become more impactful when you've got slightly less of them. And you tune into a wrestling show to eventually see wrestling. That's just how I view things. But this week we were hit with what to my mind are three great segments. The first I want to talk about is the CM Punk, Seth Rollins and Drew McIntyre segment. I thought that this was a very good segment because they were in Chicago. Punk came out, was massively over, as Punk usually is in Chicago. And he was just talking about, you know, WrestleMania, he wants to do something. And then you got Drew coming out, who's playing his best character in his entire WWE career, I think. He's kind of almost like an internet troll, because he just will not stop needling CM Punk. Like, he knows CM Punk is not able to wrestle. He knows he's injured. He always brings up things with Seth Rollins, like, just don't focus on this. You've got to focus on me. I want my title match. Don't mess this up. Yeah, Eddie Hickey, he's an a-hole. That's exactly what he is. But it's perfect. And I think that everyone played their part really well. You had CM Punk and Drew getting into an argument, and then Seth was there, and they kind of talked about CM Punk being a guest referee, and I was very wary about it, because somebody, I believe Seth said, oh, that's his counting arm that he's hurt, you can't expect him to do that. So of course, Punk being Punk, got down on the mat, counted with his non-injured hand. But then he had to come out and say, I couldn't be impartial with these two. I don't think he said a-holes, but I think it was douchebags. Because if he hadn't said that, people would have been calling for that. There was mention of, I think Drew said the words chosen one, and Punk said, who called you the chosen one? Which obviously is a reference to Vince McMahon. And he was like, I dare you to say who called you the chosen one. Because obviously I can't imagine the words Vince McMahon are allowed to be mentioned on TV right now, which is insane. I mean, even 4 years ago, could you imagine that? No, you cannot mention Vince. It was very, very cool to see all these three characters sort of bouncing off one another, and it didn't feel... There were obviously points they had to hit. The object was to get CM Punk out there, to get him in front of a live crowd, and to get him to become a guest commentator for this WrestleMania match. They accomplished that. Other than that, I get the impression there was a lot of freedom between the three of them to just kind of throw barbs at each other. And some of them were more successful than others. But I really enjoyed the whole, like, this doesn't feel like I'm waiting for my next line. I'm waiting. It felt like three guys that were like, well, here's what we got to get to. We can get there. Let's go. Which is all I want from wrestling. It's all I want from wrestling promos. I didn't get the impression this was heavily scripted, because it didn't need to be with the three of them. They've all proved themselves in the mic. It does kind of make me look forward to the match, actually, Lex. And I imagine it would be harder for them to get a reaction out of that crowd. Because no matter how good the Seth and Drew match is, you know that what they're going to be doing is just waiting for Punk to do something. That's all the crowd are going to be waiting for. And I don't know what Punk can do, but they're going to be waiting for something. Unless Punk's just going to bury them on commentary, which I don't want. Like, I like Punk being a cocky, big mouth. I've always been a Punk guy. But the last thing I want is, like, a sort of Michael Cole, heel Michael Cole that we had a few years ago, 2015 or 14. You know, that we had where it kind of drags the match down. I'm happy that these guys are getting something. I haven't heard that Drew's signed yet, which is utterly crazy to me. I believe he's likely to sign now that he's found this character. I really do. And again, I wouldn't have said that 6 to 8 months ago. I would have said he was going to leave. But they haven't been talking about contracts. And I guess that's just the way TKO are going to do things. Because I've also heard that Becky Lynch's contract is coming up, and they haven't talked to her about it yet, because she mentioned it during one of her interviews for her book tour, her publicity tour for her book, which I'll be giving you a review of in the next segment. Because I have managed to read a copy. Well, I've listened to a copy of that book. I got it on Audible. But it's very strange, but like, I thought that was a good segment. I also thought a good segment was Becky versus Rhea was a good segment. And I thought that was an interesting segment. My problem is that they are pushing Becky as the babyface, which I understand. But I don't think they've appreciated just how little fans want to boo Rhea Ripley. They'll boo Dominic Mysterio all day long. They will boo heavily Dominic Mysterio. Nobody wants to boo Rhea Ripley. And a lot of people are sat there going, well, she's had the total a year. And I'm thinking, yes, she has. She's massively over. And what massive feuds has she had in that time? I mean, the mic work in that was superb. And the fact that Dom let Becky Lynch seemingly punch him legitimately was, you know, big of him. Because a lot of people back in the day, when I know when China was about, and think of the size of China, they were like, I'm not selling for a woman. So I'm very, very happy that things have progressed and that's not an issue anymore. I think if you position it as Dom's going to cheat a lot and Becky's going to get revenge for that, then you'll get Becky cheered. If you book it as Becky's the babyface, Rhea's the heel, you're going to have trouble no matter how much people love Becky. It's going to be troublesome. I actually missed the comments that Becky had about Rhea's stink face spot during an interview, because there's been a lot of different interviews. Bonkers LFC asking me about the Bray documentary that's coming out tomorrow. Am I watching on Peacock? I'm not in the US, so I don't have Peacock. Usually, the Peacock documentaries don't even go into the network from my memory. I will do my best to track it down. But I don't even think we got the Cody documentary. So I will do my best to track down the Bray one, because I'll be interested to see how it goes. I mean, obviously they're not going to be negative or anything, but what are they going to say that hasn't already really been said? I mean, he's great, don't be wrong. He was great. May he rest in peace. But I hope it goes deep. You know, I hope it goes to like FCW and Husky Harris and all that. I want it to go all the way back and then discovering, you know, the Wyatt family character and the Fiend, and do the whole thing rather than just like, wasn't Bray Wyatt the cult leader call? I want, you know, wasn't the man call? Fran, what were the points that Becky said about the stink face spot? Because that did go viral, and I did think, oh, that's a thirst spot. Because one of the things that Rhea has embraced is kind of like, there's a weird element to her fan base where they're kind of, it's just, you know, the whole mommy thing is just, it's a bit creepy for some fans. I'm not saying any different. It's a bit, you know, but she embraces it. She embraces the fact that people are basically, you know, cartoon wolf howl, tongue rolling out, and all that kind of. So, you know, I'm okay. If she's all right with it, then I'm all right with it. But at a certain point, it makes her a baby face. And I'm wondering, you know, has Becky Lynch been like, you need to be a heel? Yeah, the whole sickos meme. But she does seem to be like, she embraces it. The whole stink face thing was obviously a call out to that. The way she pins people and like folds them over is a call out to that. It's very strange. It's very weird. Ah, so she was, this is from Fan of Cannon in the chat room. She was pretty negative. Said it had a bad example for young girls / women looking at being wrestlers. Didn't seem mad at Rhea. More how it was the focus of over everything else in ring. Okay, I can see that, Fran, if people are only taking that. Because Rhea, you can't say that Rhea doesn't try hard in the ring. Like, if she was just... If she was a... Not to put a term on it, but if she was a diva in an era of wrestlers, I could see wrestlers being like, alright. And being mad about it. Eddie Hickey, as Dolph would say, it should have been me. That's bad. Mr. Priceless, does Mania see the start of the end of the Judgment Day? More cracks starting to appear. I don't want to give away any of my thoughts for Mania, but I think they could come out of this looking all right. Also, Becky said something. If it wasn't for the E, would have gone to TNA. You had the better women's division. Yeah, that's from Mr. Priceless. All I heard her saying was her contract was coming up, and they were asking like, "Well, what are you thinking about?" She's like, "Well, we'll see." And then she's like, "Well, I'm WWE. I'm WWE or nowhere." And then when they were like, "So you're WWE only?" And then she suddenly went like, "But we'll see." And it's like, "Well, you just said you were WWE only." Right, Dinkins, Julia Hart is better than Rhea Ripley. I like Julia Hart, but Rhea Ripley is just, she's so over. She's monstrously over. I can't agree with you there. But yeah, that's the Becky and Rhea segment, which, as I said, the best part of that was Becky punching Dominic in the jaw, which they replayed and zoomed in so you could see the real contact was made. And that's the second segment on Raw. And as I say, I will get on with the book review in a little while. And then we come to the opening and main event of this Raw. Before I move on to that, Fran the Cannon, Julia's still improving, whereas Rhea's more of a complete package right now. I agree. I think Julia can get there. She's very good. When she first came in, I thought, well, AEW's women's division needs bodies, to be honest. It needs people to take pins. And now she's like, she's got a lot better than when we first saw her. So I'm going to keep my mouth shut and see where she goes. Mr. Priceless, Julia is good future, there's no doubt. But Rhea's a rock star right now. Yep, Pop is over as hell. I'm just one, like I said, my only thing is that she's not a heel, and they're going to treat her like a heel, which is going to be, that's going to be a difficult match for Becky to get people on side. But the main event of this Raw, in the opening segment, Cody Rhodes came out to the crowd and began to talk about the situation they're in and the run up to Mania, when, in a complete surprise, The Rock made an appearance with The Rock's tremendous new entrance, with the large lightning bolts and this kind of dark spotlight, where it makes him look even bigger. It makes him look huge. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying The Rock already isn't huge, but he looks like Thanos. It's ridiculous. And he came down to the ring, and he didn't grab the microphone and speak. He just stood there, said something to Cody, and it was quickly found out what that was. And then he left, and the crowd, which had gone completely molten, they were very, very hot for The Rock when that music first hit, because he wasn't announced for this week. He was announced for next week. So, and the fact that The Rock hasn't been on Raw, he's always been on SmackDown. And It was very cool. And he said something to Cody, and then he left. And the thing he said to Cody, which he didn't find out in the show, but, you know, there were some amateur lip readers on the internet, and then wrestling journalists got hold of it, and he said, "I'm going to make you bleed," which is apparently what he said. And I found that out during the show. So the show goes on, and there's the other two segments I talked about, and there's some matches, and they were okay matches. There were no real terrible matches on this Raw. And then you got to the final segment where The Rock, the final boss, just destroyed Cody. Like, the rest of the Bloodline minus Roman Reigns and obviously Paul Heyman, so like Solo Sikoa and Jimmy, tried to beat down Cody, and Cody fought them off. And then The Rock turned up and proceeded to put the best beating I've ever seen. Well, not ever seen, but like certainly in the last few years. He just beat Cody, and Cody got no hope spot. He got no kind of comeback during this beating. The Rock just dragged him everywhere and then just took off the weight belt, because he had previously promised Cody's mom that this weight belt was going to be covered in Cody's blood and her tears, and then threw Cody into the door of a bus. The camera very nicely cut to The Rock, cutting directly to camera, where it's like, didn't have to be this way, now this is the only way. And then they cut back, and surprise, surprise, Cody is bleeding. So The Rock then takes his hand, and he smears the blood off Cody's head onto this weight belt, and he says, "That's part of the prophecy. Part of the prophecy has come true. Next, it's going to be your tears, Mama Rhodes." And I was just like, this is it, man. This is it. This is amazing, because nobody talks like this anymore. They don't do segments like this anymore. They don't do blood anymore. And in the opening segment, they had to do something where they had to mute the crowd. It's holy mute. I don't know what they thought they were chanting. I hate it when they do this. I get the your PG, your TV PG, but that isn't a legal thing. That is a proviso for the audience. You can do stuff past TV 14, but you might get in trouble if a load of people complain, which is why it's like a. So you could technically just do TV 14 stuff, but you might get in trouble for not telling people. But don't mute the fans. If the fans are doing that, and you're just destroying any kind of atmosphere they get that is coming through the TV, because half of it is muted. And then we get this entire, he dragged him outside into the rain. And he said, "This is what you get when you fuck with the final boss." And they bleeped out the word fuck as well. But obviously, it was all over the internet from people in the crowd recording the big screen. And it did call back to me. There was a report a couple of weeks ago that people within the company have now come out and said that's false. That mid-carders and upper mid-carders and that, and other people in the company, were getting kind of pissy that The Rock was able to swear, because it's like, if he can do that, then why can't we? Where are his limitations? We have to work within limitations. They're a bit annoyed that The Rock doesn't have that. Now, The Rock's in the board of the company, so I imagine the rules aren't really going to apply to him. Not that I'm saying anything about his physique, but I'm imagining the rules may not apply to him. It's really, really weird when they mute things, because like, if you're going to mute them, I suppose it does have the required effect anyway. I suppose it does, because people go out of their way to find out what that was, and the chance of holy silence is obviously going to mean, you know, one thing. It's not going to be like holy cheese, is it? Or it's very weird. But yeah, it was a great it went on for a while. I kept waiting for Cody to get a few punches in and The Rock to be run off, but it just wasn't happening. It was really good. The problem is, as Bonkers LFC says in the chat, The Rock is overshadowing Roman versus Cody. Now, whether that's The Rock's fault or not is another matter, because a couple of weeks ago on SmackDown, we did get an interview segment with Roman and Cody that was just formulaic. I felt like I'd heard it all before. But as I said, they've got to work within their own limitations. The Rock doesn't seemingly have them. But the worrying thing is that Cody and Roman is the match. It's the main event. And Roman has had this monstrous run as champion. And all everyone's talked about is how great the Bloodline storyline is. And how they can't wait to see who beats Roman. And now nobody's talking about Roman. I haven't seen anyone saying they can't wait for the main event of WrestleMania. I've heard, wow, that Rock segment was cool. Wow, The Rock looked amazing. So it's really weird. It's really, like, I don't think, obviously this didn't go the way they wanted. They wanted to do Rock versus Roman at Mania, and to be fair to them, they pivoted away from that really well, and they made this tag match that I think everyone wants to see. But now people want to see Cody versus The Rock before they want to see anything else. And it's been reported, whether or not this report is accurate, I haven't seen it reported widely, but it's been reported that soon after Mania, like almost immediately after Mania, Rock is starting production on a new film. So he'll probably not be around for storylines for a while. So we've got Mr. Priceless, unannounced Rock is never a bad thing. Then the end of Raw segment happened. Holy effing hell. Legit laid the smackdown on Cody. Mr. Priceless again. They do it on NXT, muting the crowd, unless you're watching it live on the WWE Network for $9.99. He didn't say the $9.99 thing, that was just me. Then we have the thing I pointed to earlier with Bonkers LFC. The Rock is overshadowing Roman v. Cody. And then you've got Fran the Cannon. More than the cursing, I was surprised by Punk trying to get Drew to acknowledge Vince on Raw. That was the thing that surprised me as well. I thought Punk was going to get in trouble with that. Mr. Priceless, Dwayne's got a Dwayne, enough said. Also, a little nugget about Farrah's bandana is The Rock is a cat bandana. We know what Cody's really trying to say. And it's not the PG version for cat. True. Then we've got some stuff about WrestleMania weekend, which I haven't looked into too much yet because I'm scared. I'm scared about the amount of stuff that's happening at WrestleMania weekend. Eddie Hickey, Rocky's just more popular than those two combined, which is sort of the, I don't want to say problem, because it's a hell of a problem to have someone of the caliber of The Rock on there. But all I can think of is Roman was the thing on these programs. He was like the top dog, if you will. And now most of his heat to me has been taken by The Rock. And it's not The Rock's fault. The Rock's just really good. The Rock's really good. And I know that Paul Heyman has come out and said, oh, Roman Reigns asked The Rock to do that. Okay. That's a decent attempt to try and get the heat back on Roman. But it just doesn't wash with me. I feel the conflict. I feel where they're going with that. My thing is this. We know that at the end, well, it's been heavily reported that the end of the whole point of this run, this tribal chief run, is to try and make Roman a babyface, to try and do the whole, oh, we hate him so much that he's become cool. Which is working. You know, Roman does get a respectable pop. There are lots of people in the crowd, you know, putting their finger up. So it is working to a point. And not to ruin my prediction for the Mania main event, but I think that night one for the tag match, I think The Rock pins Cody Rhodes. And then if they go with Cody, and I think they will, because I think they've realised if they do this another year, there'll be a problem. I don't think fans will go for another year of this. But I think that, you know, Cody then beats Roman. And then you get the whole point of, well, one of us beat Roman at WrestleMania. And one of us didn't. I think the final boss is a bigger deal than the and you get the Roman Rock match they wanted to do then. And you get that for, you know, maybe SummerSlam. Bonkers LFC. Roman turns on The Rock. I want to see it that way rather than the other way around. I don't think we're going to see that because as bad as this is, Roman needs The Rock right now. He needs his help in that tag match. Eddie Hickey, I feel the Usos are going to reunite because Booker T wants them back together. Or Booker T comes up with, you know, I mean, fair play to him. I know he's just been through surgery and that. But I think Booker T just comes up with stuff to amuse himself. NXT standard delivery is going to be good. If Trick versus Melo maining, the prime target from NXT was a thing of beauty. I haven't been keeping up with NXT. I really need to. I've got NXT. I've got ROH. There's loads of stuff this weekend that is just going to take up my time, and that's without Mania. Fran the Cannon, I believe that in the US they're airing Collision this Saturday, so it might get post WrestleMania views. Later this Saturday, rather, so it might get post WrestleMania views. We'll suffer, but less than going head to head. I don't know, Fran, because I'll be burnt out after Mania. I know it's only night one, but like, you're not going to be like, I want to watch more wrestling. I think they're done either way. I don't care when they put it on. Especially when they just took a week off the other week. No sleep for the wicked, says Mr. Priceless. It's WrestleMas, the most wonderful time of the goddamn year. I don't know who you're calling wicked, Mr. Priceless. I got a lot of stuff this week that isn't wrestling related as well, which is killing me. But I'm looking forward to it. Obviously, I always look forward to WrestleMania weekend because it's always a mountain of like, this match is good that you've never heard of. This match for this company you've heard of twice was really awesome. This weird pay-per-view. It's a mountain of just like, oh, cool. And you get to hear about new people, and then you get to hear about a lot of stuff. But yeah, personally, I'd rather see Rock versus Cody. That's where it is for me at the moment. But obviously, I want this Roman story over. So there we are. And there was another thing in that segment where they... The Rock had Cody pinned against the hood of a truck. And in the background, there was this big truck with two faces on it. Two massive faces. On the left, I believe, there was Stone Cold Steve Austin. And on the right, there was John Cena. And I've seen the trucks they're supposedly using around this time for WrestleMania. They've got giant WrestleMania logos on. And they do not have Steve Austin. And they do not have The Rock on. They do not have John Cena on them. Aside from this one. So I do. There are rumors that they've been approached to do something at Mania. So there is that. Sorry, Fran. Did you think there was any Stone Cold in that truck? Could you not see John Cena? I know where you're going. I know where you're going. I mean, let's put it this way: if you get to a head of the table match or a tribal combat match, wherever it is, and The Rock is interfering and hitting Cody and punching Cody, and all of a sudden the glass breaks, and Austin comes down, and you know, hearing The Rock brawl in the aisle. I think that if that can happen, I want that to happen. I want all kinds of interference and garbage to happen halfway through this match so that the rest of the Bloodline get taken out. Sort of like what they did last year when Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens came in. And then it just becomes a pure one-on-one match. I think that's the way to go. I'll certainly be very happy if Eddie Hickey saying stuns everyone in ring. No, do not touch Roman. Don't touch Roman at all. Because it needs to be Cody versus Roman. Roman doesn't need a single excuse. He needs to just be beaten. Earlier in the chat, we've got Robert Dinkins. The Bloodline story should have ended last year. Agreed, but they've managed to stretch it one more year, which is why I think they can't do it at the end of the year. Fran the Cannon, I'd rather have Cena counter The Rock. I'd like to see Punk and Austin come face to face. Ooh. Yeah, but if I'm going to see Punk and Austin, I want Punk to be healthy enough to tease something happening. Right now, we know Punk can't wrestle. I want to see Punk when Punk's healthy or as healthy as Punk gets. Hopefully Punk, like, you know, this is his last injury for a while because he is looking somewhat fragile. Unfortunately, you know, these things do happen and it does suck. But hopefully he gets well and then we can maybe get Austin for next year. Eddie Hickey, watch out for Solo because he came back last year after he was banned from ringside. So what I'm thinking, Rock and Austin go for Austin goes for The Rock and Cena goes for Solo. That's what I'm thinking because I'm imagining that they're going to do a big match between the Usos and they're going to kind of take each other out in that match. But anyway, I've ruined my main event prediction for WrestleMania right there. I will at some point over the next week be doing a live show. It'll be a weird day. It will not be on Saturday daytime because I'll be at a movie premiere. My friend's film is debuting and it's the 6th and I'll be going along. The 4th is my birthday. I don't want to do it too early. Friday night, I'm not entirely sure what is going on. I know that my worry is that things have been planned and I don't know about them. So I will certainly let you guys know what is going on in the Discord. I'll let you guys know. But I will somehow get my predictions out for WrestleMania. Robert Dinkin saying on Saturday, Collision will start at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time. I'm sorry, nobody's going to start watching a wrestling program at 11:30 p.m. after WrestleMania's been on. Friday's Progress is on at 8 p.m. UK time. Well, we got sort of a lot of stuff going on. This is the thing. I will get some predictions out for Mania though, and then the next day, obviously, on the Sunday daytime, I will do a review of night one. The problem is this year, they have not let you know which match is going to happen on which night yet. So I can't do a preview of night one and then have you watch night one and do a preview of night one of night two while doing a review of night one, which would have been useful. Unfortunately, that hasn't happened. It would have to be, at the moment, because they haven't announced which match is on which night, Eddie, it would have to be, I'd have to predict the whole card in one stream for the first one. And then the second, and the after the first night, I will review the first night. But I'm going to have my working shoes on, as it were, or boots. I do actually wear boots. So yeah, it's a lot of work coming up. I mean, we've got WrestleCon, but I'll be honest with you, I tend not to be out of. I can't fit WrestleCon in. I'm quite tempted to watch some of the stuff from the Collective this year. Is it the Collective? The GCW collection. But we shall see what happens. We shall see what happens. I will do my level best to get... I will get something out there for you guys. Because I appreciate you coming every Sunday. I know there's been a few weeks where power cuts and other things have happened, or I've been unable to do this, but I will. It's WrestleMania. It's WrestleMania. I've got to let you know. I've got to come together, let you guys know what I think. And speaking of letting you guys know what I think, I got hold of I got hold of the audible copy of Becky Lynch, The Man, Not Your Average Girl. Which is a book, obviously. It's about 10 hours because I got the audible copy. It's read by Becky Lynch herself. And I've read a lot of wrestling autobiographies. And, you get some good, some bad, some great. On the great scale, I'd say my two favourite are Have a Nice Day, A Tale of Blood and Sweat Socks, the one that kicks it all off, the Mick Foley first autobiography. On the bad, coming from the same era, we have The Rock Says by The Rock, where half of it is written in character. The other great one I can think of is Bret Hart. My Real Life in the Cartoon World of Pro Wrestling. I thought that was great. So, the book is split into almost... It's split into segments. So, you do get a lot of her... Sort of, a lot of it... Like the second half is pretty much her WWE career. The first half is like her growing up, her childhood, her relationships with her family, and her training, and what led up to her, why did she train, where did she train, who did she train with, and why she chose to leave. You don't necessarily get because a lot of books from, independent wrestlers or wrestlers that had a big impact on the indies, you don't get a lot of, and then I had this match with this person and they were great. You get sort of, I was doing this and this is how I felt about it. And I really felt like this was a really good book, because a lot of books from people in WWE, they just talk about how great WWE is. And while this isn't overly critical of WWE, I think it's honest about the Divas era, and that the kind of segment where she talks about her training and her coming up in the indies and working with certain people, she mainly talks about how she feels within herself. And I never realised how self-critical she is or felt. Even in her WWE career, she's always like, oh, you know, I'm not that good. You know, I've never felt that good. And it's a real eye-opener, because there was obviously, there's some talk about her childhood where she says, like, I was overweight, and there were plenty of people saying things that they didn't mean to be offensive or to hurt me, but it obviously affected her. She talks about having an eating disorder and overcoming that, and, you know, her relationship with food and her relationship with fitness and trying to put on weight and trying to put on muscle because of WWE, trying to get to WWE and thinking that that was what she had to do, and the break she had to take. She talks a lot about feeling like a misfit. She talks a lot about her teenage years when she was smoking and drinking before she was supposed to be, and like hanging out on street corners. And I thought, this is a terribly, and I know she's Irish, but this is a terribly UK-centric kind. It felt very like, oh, you were a certain type of youth. All right, cool. That's relatable to a lot of people in, and you know, I'm not saying that Ireland is exactly like the UK, but it felt very relatable. She talks about relationships and people she's been in relationships with and how they went and how they fizzled out. You always see pictures of her training where she was training with Finn Balor, and you always see these. I always thought, like, oh, she had a thing for Finn Balor. And you could see that. Finn Balor's a very good-looking guy, and he always seems to have been richer than girls. But apparently, for a little bit, they were in a relationship, and she talks about that, and then later in the book, she's like, oh, yeah, we bumped into each other in WWE. And it's, like, it's really weird because, like, we're friends, and there's no, like, kind of lingering thing from the relationship, so we'll just talk about stuff, and I'll know, like, we can talk about it, and it's cool. And it felt very personable. It didn't feel like a checklist. A lot of WWE autobiographies, I felt this with the Drew McIntyre one. I like Drew. I think the book was bad for Drew's, but it felt like a checklist of here's what I did to get to WWE, and here's what happened when I was in WWE. And there were elements of that, don't get me wrong, because she does talk about, you know, she talks about pretty much every big match she was in and how she felt coming into it and where the situation was and how the crowd were. But it felt more personal to me. It felt it felt more personal because I could see, like, where it could have gone for her had she not just pursued it more. She did quit for years. She said she was tired of being a misfit and she didn't think she was going to make it. So she tried to do loads of jobs that she felt were normal. Her mum was an air stewardess. Or I think they're just called stewards now, whatever the... But, like, she did that for a while because her mum had... her mum was an air stewardess, and that's how she got to go on holidays and things. But she always says, like, but I didn't feel like this was for me, or I'd convinced myself this was for me. And then the moment wrestling sort of popped back into my life for a second, I was just back into it. It was just, it's really good. I wouldn't say it was great. I don't think it's like an amazing, incredible book, but I think it's worth reading. I think I'd say it's like certainly top 10, because I've read a lot of wrestling autobiographies that are, I mean, I've read Hogan's first autobiography, which is a tissue of fiction, and considering it's like when you've got autobiographies from like Hulk Hogan and To Be the Man by Ric Flair and things like that, and they're less interesting than this. That same thing again. That's nothing against Becky Lynch. You know, it's more about, this doesn't feel like it was written by a ghostwriter. It feels like she sat down while she was injured. While she was pregnant. That's terrible. That is terrible. I didn't mean injured. I just remember she took a long time off and immediately thought injury. So I found the canon. If you're in WWE and writing a book, I imagine they ask Foley for tips. Mick Foley, her favourite wrestler when she was a fan, which is something I didn't know. So, like, it's things like that. It feels more like I know more about her, which is cool because now she's doing the publicity tour for the book and she's on stuff like Last Meal. I can't remember what the actual show's called. But it's about people talking about what they'd have for their last meal. And it's made me like her more. And I liked her to begin with. So I'd recommend this book. I really would. But yeah, that's enough about, I don't want to give too much of it away. There are stories in there. And, you know, she does talk about people and relationships she was in. But I'd highly recommend this book. I've read a lot worse, let's put it that way. I've read a lot worse. But yeah, that is my Becky book review. And the problem with reviewing books is you never know how it... Yes, it's on The Mythical Kitchen. So, and her and Seth have already also done a Hot One showdown. Thanks, Fran. I couldn't remember the name of the channel. I knew it wasn't Last Meals. And I knew about the Hot Ones thing as well, but the last one of those I saw that was a showdown was, it was for All In. It was MJF versus Adam Cole. I have to go and watch that Hot Ones showdown. I keep missing it. It comes on my recommendations. There's always something else just next to it. I'm like, oh. But yeah, I highly recommend it. I'll certainly be looking out for more to interviews with her. And I will probably reread this autobiography. Eddie Hickey, Seth's theme still annoys me. Yeah, me too, buddy. I just don't get it. Like, Seth's a good wrestler, but I don't get the character. I think I get the character, and what I think is the character annoys me even more. I think he's trying to be this generation's Macho Man Randy Savage. And ain't nobody being Macho Man Randy Savage but Macho Man Randy Savage. So there is that. I always describe him as he comes out looking like the last Quality Street in the tin. He always looks weird. He was a bit like a big shiny bit of paper. And it's very strange. I mean, he's good. I just don't like the character. And the theme plays into that. Nobody can sound like Randy talking like he needs to go to the toilet. Well, Eddie, if that's how you think of Macho Man, then fair enough. Mr. Priceless, I still wish we had the Messiah / Greater Good Pandemic Era Rollins rather than singing Woes. You know what? I didn't even like that character, but I prefer it to this one. Explosion at a Quality Street Factory is a good way of describing it. But anyway, I don't want to derail into like trying to slag off Seth Rollins because I do think he's good. Well, Eddie, I prefer the Beast Slayer persona. The only one I couldn't stand less than this one is the lackey for the Authority. I thought that did nothing for him. He turned heel and immediately became the least interesting part of the heel act he was part of, if you know what I mean. I mean, their romance is covered, which it's kind of sweet because you've got her like in her interior monologue during this book, where she's like, we're just friends. And it's like obvious, like she doesn't really think like that, but she's trying to convince herself, like, no, we shouldn't do this. This would be bad for ages, while secretly being like, yeah, but I want to do this. What's going on? Fran the Cannon's original NXT persona was basic but good. The one with the streak of blonde in his hair. Eddie Hickey, we know where Seth gets his coach from. But yeah, that is the book. Mania is looking insane. I haven't even touched on AEW, so I'll do a little bit of that in saying that I thought that the one-man mosh pit, I remember that moniker. I thought that was so lame. Like, because that means you got to, like, bump into yourself and then fall over. Eddie Hickey just wondering what happens tomorrow night. Well, supposedly The Rock was advertised for that one, so he's probably turning up again. I panicked then when you said tomorrow night, because for some reason I thought it was Mania, which is weird because I know today is Sunday, hence this show being on. I can't see how they improve the Cody angle. I think Cody probably gets revenge, maybe. I think they hurt Cody as well. See, I think Cody ends up getting banged up again. I don't see him. If I was them, I'd have him going in before the show, giving him a reason to lose on night one, giving them a reason to have a crazy smoke and mirrors match. I don't mean like, you know, his old theme. I mean like the kind of match where you just use all kinds of craziness, which is I think what. Yeah, I could see an interview where a Titantron interview. Mr. Priceless. I mean, I thought on SmackDown, Shinsuke's wardrobe got raided by Seth. Could see it. Could definitely see it. I'll talk a little bit about AEW. I'm thinking the TV shows are pretty good at the moment. I'm really enjoying them. I'm enjoying the tag tournament, despite the fact that A, it's another tournament, and B, it's really obvious what the finals are going to be. And I think it's really obvious who the winners are going to be, because I think the tag titles will help the Bucks persona of arrogant heels a lot. I don't even mind them getting it this time, because it suits the story. I'm a bit confused about Mercedes Moné. I don't know where they're going with her, and I think putting her on like interviews, which she's been, and on the microphone, is showing off her weakest quality. She's got like a tremendous physical charisma, but I've never thought she was that good in the mic. I said it last week where her opening where she arrived and mentioned Eddie Guerrero, she always does that and it really winds me up. But obviously we've got Ospreay versus Danielson at Dynasty, and Shibata being flipping. I can't believe they took his brain. Like, how is he back and how is he wrestling? And Mr. Priceless, Tyler and good old Peter getting a Mania payday. Get the F in. You're too right. I mean, I know I talk about it every time, but I saw those guys coming up and knew there was something special. I don't think they win the tag titles, but, you know, that was good stuff. Edge versus Cardona on Collision. That was good, but then it's going to be because they've been around each other forever. Edge, you know, Edge basically, Cardona was Edge's like lackey, weren't he? He was one of the Edge heads. and I can imagine they stayed in touch. It's a very, very, it's a crazy time of year. It's going to be a crazy week. I will get you some Mania predictions up. If I do not manage to get them up live, I'm hoping to do them live. If not, then please search for the Wrestling Arena and your podcast app of choice. I'll get them up there. My hope is to get it live. I will let you know if I'm able to go live on the Discord. And I'll get everything done. It's going to be one hell of a week. I'll have turned 41 by the time Mania starts, which is crazy. Eddie Hickey, if I could pick one dream match from one wrestler from WWE versus one wrestler from AEW, what would it be? Okay. I could pick a dream match from one wrestler from WWE versus one wrestler from AEW. Let's see. I would book... Who's the top wrestler from my type of wrestling? I'd say at the moment I'd pick Gunther versus Eddie. That'd be good. Fran, Bate versus Dunn versus Bate and Dunn versus FTR. That'd also be good. Mr. Priceless, I know it's early. Do you think AEW is going to end up TW overbooking Okada, Mercedes and Ospreay? Feels like it. Also, we're going to have some Tony Maria shenanigans on coming after some happenings. I don't know. I mean, my worry is with the situation you just mentioned. I think you're going to end up with one of those three, you know, Okada, Mercedes and Ospreay, one of those three at least being injured before All In London. They just work too hard. I think Okada can get away. I think, to be honest, I think it's Ospreay. To me, I hope not, because I want to see the guy, but he doesn't have another gear. It's just always go, 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 go. And Mr. Price, this out of the first quarter of 2024. The year's been on goddamn roids, 9 months. Insanity going to continue. And Mr. Priceless is WWE versus AEW contest is Ospreay versus Rollins. So, no, that's a good pick. That is a good pick. Bate and Dunn versus FTR. Eddie Hickey. You just read my mind, Barrow, which is cool. See, my thing, the guy that I like most, like the technical guy in AEW, it would be like Danielson, but I've seen him wrestle a lot of WWE guys, so it's like, all right. So let's go with Gunther and Eddie. I think that'd be cool, watching Eddie try and beat Gunther. But yeah, it's a crazy time of year. I'm loving Raw at the moment, which is crazy. I would never have. Eddie Hickey, Drew McIntyre versus Kingston. I cannot believe. Can you guys believe that they haven't? I mean, I know that like it doesn't always leak and that, but supposedly they haven't locked down Drew McIntyre. How do you not go out there and go, oh, well, that guy's, you know, he's coming to the end of his contract. He's on a massive run. You know, I think he's going to stay because I think he's happy there now. He's got this character and they're giving a world title match at Mania. Also, with the guns out of contract, what's next? Japan, Tico overpaying to sign NXT or main roster. Jack that tag division to the moon. Mr. Priceless, I hate to say it, I think that they'll probably end up going to AEW. Why wouldn't they? As you say, Tony Khan tends to pay a lot. I don't want anybody. I mean, I don't get how talented. I'm assuming you mean the Machine Guns. I don't get how talented someone is. AEW doesn't need anybody else. True, there is the tag league, but Fran, you know, they can work the tag league if they sign with AEW because they've got that working relationship. Get the money from one, work the other. Look at Jack Perry. Getting the money from one and working the other. So, by the time I see you again, we should have finalised the Mania card. I mean, I believe it's finalised now. I don't think they're going to add much more. But I probably won't be able to have watched SmackDown. But I should have seen Raw. And I will, like I said, I'll get something out to you guys. But it's been about an hour and 40 minutes. And I've got to try and figure out when I'm going to fit in this next report. So, I've been Paul Barrow. It's been my pleasure to sit here with the chat. And I'll see you just before Mania. I'll see you next time.